Jesus led Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This gospel of the Transfiguration takes place in the same context as in the life of our Lord, in this time in which our Lord approaches the holy city in order to suffer his passion and salvific death. Transfiguration is metamorphosis in Greek. Metamorphosis is a changing of the form, not of the substance. And so our Lord does not cease to be divine in the incarnation. Rather, his first metamorphosis was in the incarnation. He remains God, takes upon himself human nature, and then he has this transfiguration, this metamorphosis on the holy mountain as something of a foretaste of his glorified sacred humanity. Obviously, his divinity is invisible. It can't be seen. Therefore, it doesn't undergo a metamorphosis, because what undergoes a metamorphosis is exterior. There's also another metamorphosis that we're about to witness, which is the transubstantiation. And so our Lord is not changed. He changes things. And it says this interesting, Matthew uses this interesting verb, paralambon. He took them to himself and led them up the mountain. And this is a verb that appears three times in Matthew's gospel. One, we heard it last week, when Satan, paralambo, took Jesus to himself and led him up to the pinnacle and showed him the cities and the kingdoms of the world. We also see this verb used in the preceding chapter. Christ had just spoken about his passion to the disciples. And Peter, paralambo, takes Jesus to himself and tries to dissuade him from the passion. In both of those cases, our Lord dismisses Satan and calls Peter Satan. And nonetheless, when he does it, something else happens to those that follow him. So this paralambo is something that is more proper to him. We're safer when we allow him to call us to himself than when we call him to ourselves and down to our level. And this is a temptation, I think, often in the spiritual life, to want to reduce our Lord to a means towards something else. What is there after him anyway? He is God. He is our creator. He's our judge. He's not a performing flea who is going to just do what we ask him to because we're good guys. That's not the way this relationship works. We allow him to make the demands. And when we do, beautiful things happen, such as this transfiguration. Things are revealed to the disciples, some disconcerting, some very vivifying. In the very beginning of John of the Cross's ascent of Mount Carmel, he has this depiction of a mountain, Mount Carmel, obviously. And at the top is the honor and glory of God and nothing else. And there's a straight road through the middle of the mountain that goes all the way up to the pinnacle of this mountain. And it's strewn with this word, nada, 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 all the way up. Nothing, 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 and then God. And then there's a pathway on the right which doesn't make it to the top, and it's called earthly goods. And there, John enumerates possessions, joys, knowledge, consolation, rest. And it doesn't make it to the pinnacle of the mountain. On the left side of the mountain is another path called heavenly goods. And it's strewn with these words, these concepts, as glory, knowledge, joy, rest, consolation. And John says, the one of earthly goods does not lead to the peak of the mountain. The one on the left, the heavenly goods, does not lead to the peak of the mountain. of spiritual perfection. Sometimes we can absolutize things, good things. Peter is in the midst of absolutizing this experience of the transfiguration. He uses the word here twice. He said, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles here. And then the Father interrupts him. I can't blame him for not wanting this moment to pass, for wanting to hold on to this holy place where he's experienced Christ in such a singular way. That's very understandable. And nonetheless, that's a passing thing. The experience is not God. The place is not divine. John of the Cross is not a Puritan. He's not a Manichaean. He doesn't demonize material goods, earthly or certainly heavenly. He doesn't demonize them. He doesn't say they're bad. He just says they're age, they're aspects. They're not ends. And he said, the more I desired the earthly goods, the less I had of them. The more I desired the heavenly goods, the less I had of them. The more I desired our Lord, and he purified my heart, then I possessed earthly goods without desire. I possessed heavenly goods without desire. Because then they find their proper place. And that's really what the church asks of us during Lent, to take things that have a hold on our hearts and to put them in their proper place through ascesis, through denial, so that these things that we give too much importance to, we put in their proper place. So penance is supposed to be difficult, but it's salutary. It's something that makes us more healthy by taking these things that have a hold on us, these things that we want to absolutize, and putting them in a proper place so that Christ not have the first place, but the only place. If we understand our relationship with God as having him number one and everything else follows, that's still dysfunctional. God doesn't want to be number one in a series of things, because he is no thing. He is. And everything else is not relative to him. Everything else is his creation. When we possess him, those things don't have a hold on him, on us. When we allow him to possess us, when we allow him to draw us to himself so that he be our one love, he elevates these other loves so that they become what they ought to be. Love of family, love of friends, love of country, love of the church, love of all of these things that are good. They find their proper place. But only once he's been absolutized, when we have allowed him to draw us to himself, and for him to make an absolute claim on us. And this is the challenge of Lent, and this is the path to the top of the mountain, whether it's Carmel or the Transfiguration or Calvary, the Mount Sinai, to the holy mountain of heaven, our everlasting home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.